Hope Church South Bedfordshire has had a group of people meeting each weekday morning to look at God's word and what it means for us. We hope you join us on this journey, and as you do so, ask God to speak to your heart as well. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Our desire is we find God's abundant life for each one of us. Good morning and welcome to our podcast this morning. And this morning we are looking at Luke chapter 2, verse 31 to verse 38. Bob is going to pray with us and then Faith is going to read for us.
Dear Lord, we thank you that we can meet again and we can study your word. We just pray that you'll open our hearts and minds to hear your voice speaking to us, to understand what we read, and to really get to know you better, get to know your word better, and to draw closer to you as we study your word and meet together. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Luke 2, verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel, of Jerusalem.
Okay, thank you both. This is a really remarkable passage, and I love this passage. This passage shows Jesus doing everything that's right according to the law through his parents, and everything is done right, so that when Jesus later appears in the temple, there's no quandary saying, "Well, he wasn't really brought up right." No, these guys did everything impeccably well according to the law. They were good people. They did the right thing. And we see him brought to the temple, and there's probably a lot of babies being born and a lot of babies coming into the temple. But you don't get this kind of reaction with every baby that comes through the place. And here we see the prophetic is just drawn to Jesus. There is such a wealth of prophetic material pointing to Jesus from the Old Testament that where there are people who have a prophetic gift given to them by God, they are drawn to Jesus. And you see this happen as soon as Jesus arrives in the temple. Simeon is told to be at the temple that day in order to meet Jesus. Anna brings this prophecy over Jesus. It shows that it doesn't matter whether you're working as a shepherd in the hills or whether you're elderly, retired, whether you're living in the presence of God or God tells you to be there that day. God hits all age groups, all types of people, all different types of situations. And we see some wonderful examples of how God is working in people's lives in that era. Because very often we get this kind of like blanket kind of thing. Oh, nothing ever happened between these years. No, God didn't go on holiday. God didn't just disappear. He was around. He was active. He was working. And actually you see this in the lives of both Simeon and Anna. And we see their reaction to Jesus. And as we're reading that and looking at that, we should be drawn into what is our reaction to the birth of this baby. This is a reaction of people that draws us into making, why did they react the way they did? What was going on in their hearts, in their lives? What was drawn out of them? What did they actually say? What did their words mean? How did this impact? And you can imagine, you know, Mary and Joseph, they're kind of like on the back foot. They've had to give birth to a child in Bethlehem, you know, far away from Nazareth, you know, where they've got all their family and everyone, you know, around. They've had to go to Bethlehem, probably, you know, can't fit in. They have to sleep where the animals are sleeping. They give birth during the night. And then 8 days later, they make this journey of, you know, up to Jerusalem, which isn't too far away. And actually, this is a reaction in the temple. They're still recovering from the reaction of the shepherds, I'm sure, you know, and telling them about the angels and telling them about all these things. And then you just, oh, well, we go up to the temple in the middle of the center of worship of God. Oi, it all kicks off in the prophetic. I'm going to hop out the way and we'll get diving into this exciting passage.
Reading this, I was excited about Simeon, who was righteous, a righteous man and devout, and he was waiting, waiting in his life, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and he was waiting for this event, and then the Holy Spirit you know, tells him on this day to go to the temple, and for him to see what he'd been waiting for, I would think for a long time. It doesn't say that, but that's what I think. And he recognized Christ in the baby form. Jesus wasn't a man at that point; he was a baby. But the Holy Spirit had sort of quickened him, and he knew this is the child I've been waiting for. And just the sense of excitement in him, and you know, he knew once he'd seen the baby, it says that he could die now. You know, Simeon could die now, but this is what he had been waiting for all this time. And so beautifully takes the child in his arms and praises God. Sorry, I feel emotional at the moment with that fact that Simeon took him, and this was the promise that God had given Simeon, and he actually saw what the Holy Spirit had what he had been waiting for. And Simeon actually saw the baby, recognized the baby, and knew this was the child. And Simeon was part of that process of waiting and in anticipation. And so I think it is just amazing and beautiful. And Yeah, I'll let someone else carry on now.
Yeah, I'd love to dive in. The actual thing here of Simeon, how do you wait for the consolation of Israel? I mean, you know, what is waiting for the salvation of Israel, the salvation of his nation, what's been promised. And he is a belligerent man. I want to see this, Lord. You can see the results of his wrestling with God over this issue, praying for God's purpose to come about in his generation. Wow. And in that, God has revealed to him, you're not going to die until you see it. And you think, this man, you know, all is praying, all is seeking. How do you wait? He's aching in his heart for the things of God. What a beautiful man Simeon is. And in his desire for that, he gets to see it. But not only that, hold the very person he's been praying for all these years, with his own hands touching, holding this child, and not only just holding it, to have in his hands what he sought his life to see, and in seed form, if you like. He hasn't even seen the fullness of it yet. He doesn't even need to. He knows. He's been told to be at the temple that day, and this is the reason. And he is so close in walking with God, he can hear God speaking to him, say, go to the temple today, Simeon. Respond to me. Be there. And he gets it, and he's holding this child, and he goes, I can die happy now. Done. My whole purpose of life has come about. I'm happy to die right now. I've seen enough. Mm. It's coming. That's what I've lived for all these years. That's what I'm yearning for all these years. I can see it. I've touched it with my own hands. You think, wow, what a beautiful man. What a lovely heart towards God. How that should stir, you know, my heart. Just like, how do I run after the things of God? Have I got, I mean, you know, we've got the New Testament. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit with us. We've got all those things. Simeon has those things, but not in the fullness that we have them. And yet he's so diligent with it, so beautiful with it. Oh, I love this passage. I'm going to go quiet again.
It gives us such hope, doesn't it? You know, we just want to hang on, and you read a passage like that, it just gives such hope, such, you know, hang in there. Yes. It's amazing.
It says to me that you're never too old to hear from God. Yeah. We've got this lovely picture of this old man, almost at the point of death, holding this baby in his arms and prophesying. And just in a few sentences, he says very clearly what Jesus's life will be like. It's very real. It's not sentimental sort of things that people say when they hold a new baby. It's very real. He's destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. You know, Jesus would be a very controversial figure. Many would come to love him, but many would also come to hate him. So it's a very real word from God that sums up Jesus' life in just a couple of sentences, really. Mm-hmm. Very, very inspiring, I think. And it comes from this old man who'd been waiting all his life for this time. And he could die happy. He could die content that what he'd been expecting had actually happened, and he'd been right there in the middle of it.
And his language that he uses is beautiful. You can just see he's stewed on the passages to do with Jesus. He's meditated on those passages. He's dug into them, sought their meaning. There's so much beautiful stuff on the heart of Simeon when he speaks. He's quoting scripture. And he's saying, you know, I can depart in peace according to it. My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared for all peoples. A light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel. In other words, he's got it. You know, he actually knows this is going all around the world. Simeon's got a finger on the pulse there. Do you know what I mean? He knows this isn't just for the Jewish people. He knows this is for the whole world. A light to the Gentiles. And glory to Israel. Glory. It's coming from Israel. What a glory among the nations. What, you know, he's got it sussed. You know, beautiful stuff. You know, and actually, you know, the other words he says, which, you know, he blessed them and then said to Mary. And you're thinking, here's Mary. Mary hasn't gone through her ceremonial cleansing yet after childbirth. They had to wait so many weeks and so on and so many days, and it all works out. But actually, here he speaks to Mary and helps prepare Mary for what lies ahead. Now, the shepherds have all been, wow, amazing. And Mary's treasured these things in her heart. But what Simeon says to her is, I mean, what a beautiful man. Not only is he excited, he's made his life goal. He's made all he wants to live for. But he's also caring for the people around this Messiah being born. And he turns to Mary and he says, you know, behold, this child is appointed for the rising, the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce your soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And what he's saying is that this child, the Messiah, the promised one, the glory of Israel, all the wonderful things that are written about him in the Old Testament, he's saying to Mary, by the way, your child is going to cause many people who are high up in Israel to come down. And they're going to cause many people who are low down in Israel to come up. And actually, that kind of splitting of the nation, that kind of tearing apart of things that has happened is going to happen again. And your child's going to be in the middle of it. And it's going to hurt your heart like a sword going in, which is what happens to Jesus. But I bet Mary felt that as a mom, you know. And he said, he prophesies Jesus' death here by saying a sword will pierce your heart also. As well as it piercing his heart, it's going to hurt you. And he prepares her. I mean, this is just beautiful. You know, and he prepares her. And he says, you know, and this will cause the revealing of many hearts. It's not going to, you know, there's lots of people's actions that hide things. But what Jesus is going to do is he's going to reveal what's really on people's hearts. The shock of him is going to show what's really there. It's going to show what's in the ruler's hearts. It's going to show what's in the people's hearts. You can't meet Jesus and not have what's in your heart revealed. He knows it all. And this is, I mean, I'm just, I could gush on and on and on about this. But it's just beautiful.
And I mean, I thought thinking about Anna, and she'd been in the temple all that time, and at the age of 84, and you think, what a beautiful woman Anna was, of her faithfulness, and yeah, and she was committed to God, wasn't she? And her whole life was God, really. And she had the opportunity and giving thanks to God about the baby, the Jesus. She was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And I think probably for her, it doesn't say, but there again, a waiting, she'd been waiting to have that opportunity to see the child. But what comes to me is just her faithfulness and her, I don't know, tenacity and who she was. I think what a godly woman she was. And there again, it's her age. The age hits me, you know, when you get a bit older, you think, oh, you've been waiting for things. You think, oh, right, Lord. You know, I mean, and a tenacity to hold on when things don't quite look as you think, and God says things to you and you think about them, think, well, Lord, you know, will things really happen? And the hanging in there, I think. And it's so beautiful for Simeon and for Anna on this day. And also, for, as Nigel said, I think this must have confirmed so much to Mary from what the angel had said, what the shepherds had said. It was a building on what had begun before, to talk about Jesus, even before he was born. It's like God confirms who Jesus is to her. Mm. And I think that must have been so helpful to Mary. Have that confirmation all the time. Because I think her life was tough, and for Joseph.
And to prepare her, you know, to actually say that will pierce your heart, that must have resonated with her when, you know, when he was growing up. She would have had that in the back of her mind, perhaps unconsciously or consciously, but she would have that. So that's preparing the way, isn't it? Preparing your heart again. And that's what God does sometimes. He prepares us in ways, doesn't he? And also it speaks to me about prayer warriors, you know, like people praying for people. You know, when there's people hidden away that might have prayed for people for years, and they don't know they're praying for them, and then something happens and you realise that that person's been praying for you and you find that out. And that's so good. It's so, so powerful, so dedicated, and they're not really wanting any reward for praying. You know, they're just seeking God. And that's so powerful.
I'm just sort of thinking 84, you know, they didn't have hearing aids in those days. Do you know what I mean? And so you could probably got these guys, what was that? kind of thing. And actually, at the same time, their hearing of God is impeccable.
Amazing.
You know, and actually, you know, you look and, you know, this waiting. And for no, I love what you said there, Sue, about there being no other purpose in it for them. They just wanted to see God's kingdom come. They wanted to see the fullness of it.
Yeah.
And you've got that in this, so powerful, beautiful examples of it. But I like what Anna does with it. So she goes, you know, it says, you know, she's been all these years in the temple just wanting to dwell in the presence of God. On Sunday, we were looking at that. You know, I wish I was a bird. I wish I was one of those swallows flying in and out of the presence of God. And here we've got Anna. So Psalm 84, for those who haven't heard Sunday sermon. But Anna here is dwelling in the temple with that seeking God. And she's known as a prophetess, which means that God is speaking to her, and she has that reputation of bringing God's word into settings and into people's lives. And she's got that reputation, someone who dwells in the temple. You know, Anna's someone who's got a prophetic gift. She's known as a prophetess, and that's really powerful. And we also see, you know, that God speaking to men and women. He's preparing Mary. You know, he's not sexist in any way. He's loving, and his presence is there, male, female, young, old, you know. And it's a bit like the day of Pentecost, you know, even on my servants, you know, I'll pour out my spirit. And actually Luke writes the book of Acts And so you see elements here that tie in with later on as well. And so as you look at this, I'm just sort of thinking, Anna speaks to a group of people. So it says, you know, and coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So in other words, Simeon wasn't the only one. There's a whole bunch of Simeons and Annas, all seeking for God's redemption, all praying for God's redemption. And Anna comes up and goes, hey, everyone, this is it. and well, probably not those words. I mean, it was obviously in Hebrew. But you know, there's that celebration of this group of people. And they're all excited. Now, do they talk about this around the temple? Do they talk about, is it, wow, we think we've seen the Messiah. We, you know, wow. Is that something that goes around? Or they sit quiet on it because they know it's going to cause the rising and falling of many? What do they do with that? We don't know. All we know is how it impacted Mary and Joseph.
Mm.
But it's, God just can't help letting the good news out of what's happening. It's spilling out over the edges. It's just little glimpses here and there. Shepherds all know. Guys in the temple who've been seeking God their whole lives know. You know, there's signs all over the place. There's something bubbling away which just draws us into the rest of the book. You know, just how, what's going to happen next. The challenge for us is, what are we going to do about it?
It stirs your
heart. Stirs our hearts. It does, yeah.
It just actually stirs you so much. Like new life, you being in a new, yeah. Nothing's too much, is it? Does it be? Oh, yeah.
We've got two people here who've made their lives about the presence of God. Mm. And about God's kingdom. And that's Old Testament in a way. But the desperation, the heartbeat, and the way it's shaped their hearts is just beautiful.
Mm.
How much more in the New Testament? How much more for us?
Well, it's put a smile on my face today. That's amazing, isn't it? It is good. So good.
Well, maybe we'll leave it there at that pensive moment. It is so good. But it should stir us. It should sort of say something to us.
The words aren't adequate enough, are they? Let's
make they're not.
It's not adequate. You're right.
No.
They're not adequate enough. It's
well summed up there, Sue. No adequate words. The meeting finished with no adequate words. We couldn't think of any other way of expressing this than to go, wow, my heart. So I think we'll leave it there. But I just think this fresh spurring to make ourselves, to dwell, to abide in the vine, to live in him, to live in his presence, and seek for his kingdom to come. You know, Matthew says, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. And that's the order. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. All these things will be added. All the beauty that's in these people's lives is added to them because they're seeking him. That's a real challenge to us. But thank you all, and God bless. Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to find out more about Hope Church South Bedfordshire, you can find out off our website, www.hopecentral.co.uk. Also, you may like to visit us. We meet at a lovely old church built in 1220 in Tilsworth, part of Dunstable wider area. And you're welcome to visit us. We meet at 10:30 in the morning, and you'd be most welcome to attend and meet us there. Or alternatively, you can find us broadcasting live on our YouTube channel, which is also under Hope Church South Bedfordshire. Thank you very much for joining us. Hope God blessed you loads.